I know that's a great time for you all. Good morning. If you don't know me, I'm Ryan Lenners. I'm a team pastor here at the church. And we're going to be continuing our series, Restoring the Foundation, where we're looking at ultimately, as we kick off 2021, we want to be builders of our relationship with God. But today we're going to look at one of the ways that we so often actually build our own barriers, build our own wall on our own between us and God. We know that God wants to be close to us, but for one reason or another, we often put up our own defenses. We hold on to all of our emotions, our baggage from the past, from our daily struggles, and we allow it then to impact our relationship with God. We hold on to all these things, we don't want to let it go, and it creates this barrier, a wall between us and God. And the sad thing is, our lives don't start out with all this baggage. When you think of little kids, they are carefree, footloose and fancy free, not a care in the world. They wake up singing and dancing and just having a great time. But somehow, as children go through life and become adults, they start to pick up baggage. Perhaps a child unexpectedly loses a family member. And they have to go through, they're too young, they don't understand what's going on, why everybody's sad, but they just know that this person is no longer going to be with them. And they're wrestling with, God, you know, why did this happen? And then in middle school, maybe, you've got the funny haircut or some other small trivial thing that to you is the end of the world, and it's just another bag. You feel terrible about it. You don't understand why everybody's making fun of you. You just feel like that lonely outsider. It's a bag, you put it on, you wear it, it's who you are. And then you start to go through the change. Oh, that's the worst. You guys remember that? Boys start caring about girls, and girls start caring about boys. And another bag, and you measure up, and you look at the other boys are taller than you. Luckily, I didn't have to deal with that. But, you know, the girls like your buddy more than you. It's just another thing. You're not as cool as them. You don't have the great clothes that they have. In high school, you start struggling more. You've got grades, and you've got sports, and you've got all those things. It's just another bag. You hold on to it. You know, I'll like a carrier. I don't know. I'm getting filled up here. And then maybe through all of this, you know, it's not just you, but you see your family struggling. Maybe you see your parents, they're fighting all the time, and you're starting to wonder, why? Is it something that I did wrong? Am I part of this? They all seem to be fighting about me and what's going on in my life. I gotta figure this out. Well, we just grab our bags, we put them on, we grab them, and kids go through life loaded up with bags. And then you ask most teenagers, how are you doing? And they say, good. But are they? You know, at that age, are they really? Statistics show that kids, teenagers especially, are more anxious, more depressed than they ever have been at any point in life through history. And we probably look at that stat and go, really? Because we remember being teenagers. It was no cakewalk, was it? Like being a teenager, you've got all these things and you're holding on to them. But when people ask you, well, how are you doing? You're like, good, because you don't want to tell anybody I'm struggling. You know, my parents fight all the time. It makes me really scared. I don't know what's going to happen. You don't say that. You just grab the bag and you carry it. You go day by day. You pick up your bags every morning. You go to school. You go home and you live life that way. And while I'd like to say that as adults, we learn how to offload these burdens and how to set them down, hand them off to Jesus, the truth is, in fact, throughout life, we just grab more bags. We just add to our baggage. We start dating in high school and in college, and every one of those broken relationships is another bag on our shoulders. And then maybe you have a fight with your parents or with a sibling, and you have that damaged relationship, another bag. You've got struggles in raising your children. Maybe you've got an unsatisfying marriage that you're struggling through. You've got more sickness, more death, more financial struggles, and then COVID. And we're weighted down with all these bags. And then just like the youth group, when you come to church and somebody asks you how you are doing, what do you say?
Good.
Good. Fine. If you're in the classic service, you always hear, better than I deserve. I love that line. And I know it's weird to dump a bunch of challenging stuff on other people at church, to walk in and they ask how you doing and say, I got some really heavy bags right now and I'm not doing well emotionally. And we like to think that that's the reason that we don't offload it. But I think the bigger issue is most of us are just so used to carrying these bags. You guys could be like, Ryan, you got all these bags. Do you need help? I'd be like, what bags? I don't even know what you're talking about. This is just how I go through life. This is what I carry. So you ask me how I'm doing. I'm doing fine, just like yesterday. Because we don't even recognize, we're so conditioned to the junk and the baggage and the unresolved emotions that we've been dealing with that we don't even know how to respond. And the problem is, so we go through life trying to carry this around, and I'll be honest, just getting this stuff from my car into the church, I banged like four doors, I was hitting hallways, I think I got to touch up some wall with some scuff marks. Like, I didn't carry this very well. And you don't carry your emotional baggage very well either. None of us do. We end up in life coping in a lot of damaging ways with the baggage we're carrying. We find a crutch that makes us feel good, and then we abuse it. We take it to the extreme. Or we get some codependent relationship that somehow that helps us get through carrying all of our baggage. And the question I want to ask today is, why is it so challenging for us to set our bags down? Why is it so hard to say, Jesus, I need help with this. I got to resolve this. It's too much. I can't carry all this. It's too much stress. It's too much weight. Your burden's supposed to be light. Why do I feel so weighed down? So we hide our struggles from others, from God. And history shows us, though, that that just doesn't work. And so essentially what we're talking about today is authenticity. We know that we're supposed to be authentic. It's one of our church values here at Ashworth. We say real is better than religious. As followers of Jesus, we should be real about what's going on in our lives, and that's more important than just telling everybody, I'm fine, while we carry along the junk of our lives. Because we've just conditioned ourselves. It's easier to carry the bags, to wear the mask, to tell everyone, including God, we're fine. And I think that there's five reasons that we choose to hold on to our baggage and refuse to let it go to God. And the first one is shame. For some reason, we feel an embarrassment that we're even having to go through these struggles. We act like, you know, other people don't have these same struggles. It's only me. It's only my family that's having this fight. It's only me that's not making enough money to pay these bills. And so we hold on to it. And because we're ashamed to tell anybody else, of course we're ashamed to open up that up to God. It's just easier to bottle it up and not think about it, not talk about it. And part of why we feel that shame and that embarrassment is because we're proud. We're proud. We think that we should be like everybody else who doesn't have any problems. And so we shouldn't have these struggles. I should be good enough to be able to deal with this. I'm not weak. I can handle it. And so our pride tells us we can't let anybody in to our struggles. We want to appear strong and capable and worthy of their attention. And so we can never let them know how vulnerable we actually are. And meanwhile, we think that of ourselves while everybody else has the exact same thing running through their minds. We just perpetuate it through our culture. And that leads to a fear. We worry about what others are going to think of us and how they're going to treat us if they found out about these struggles that we carry through our lives. Some of you are so wrapped up in your concern for other people's opinions that you would rather die than know that they know what's going on in your head. And two other things tied not so much to our emotions, but I think to our misunderstandings are that we make you too good. In our thinking, we're like, well, I'm supposed to be too good to actually deal with this. I was thinking it's like a politeness. As Christians, I'm supposed to feel happy. Everything's supposed to be good all the time. So if I'm feeling sad, if I'm feeling weighed down, if I'm feeling angry or frustrated, I must be doing something wrong because I'm supposed to be good. And why don't I feel good? So I don't want people to know that I'm not feeling good because then apparently I'm not a good Christian. And so I can't let other Christians especially know that I'm struggling here because I'm misunderstanding how this is going. And especially we don't want God to know that we're not happy. He can't know that we aren't doing okay in life. That would be a sin. And it's like, come on. God created us. He gave us those very emotions. He wired us that exact way. He knows what you're going through. It's time to stop telling lies to him. Another misunderstanding is that we make God too small. Sometimes I think that somehow in the back of our minds, we're thinking that God can't handle the truth. We can't tell him, God, I'm doubting your plan right now. I'm doubting all this junk in my life. I'm not feeling like you're still in control. In fact, I might be doubting your existence altogether right now, but I can't say that to God. So we just stuff it down. We don't admit it. We don't talk to God in that way. We maybe have the fleeting thought, but we're like, well, I can't pray that to God. He can't handle that. Who knows what would happen? So it's just one more bag we hold on to and we never let it go. But do you realize there are some real costs to being unwilling to set our stuff down and be honest with God and with others? We see stories throughout the pages of Scripture of people's relationships with God being dramatically limited because they allowed these reasons to keep them from God. The first cost of being inauthentic is that your relationship is going to wither. You look at the story of Adam and Eve, the very first people in the Bible, and God's created them, and you get this interesting picture that they just walk together. Adam and God have conversation, and then one day God goes out, and he can't find, Adam, where are you? Adam's hiding. He and Eve had sinned. They'd eaten the apple that God from the tree that God had told them not to eat from. And this relationship that they had, this easygoing, free-flowing conversation, is now wounded and damaged and withers because of the sin, because of the baggage, because of the shame that Adam's like, oh, I screwed up. I messed this up. And so he hides. And all of a sudden, that relationship can't go forward. And you all understand that for your own experiences. If you have a secret from somebody you're close to, it makes it very hard to continue to have a normal relationship with them because you try to avoid them. You don't want them to find out what you're hiding. You don't want them to see because you're ashamed of it maybe. And so it becomes very weird. And guess what? The other person knows, like, you're not acting yourself. Like, what's going on? Because you're trying to hide something. You're not willing to be truthful with them for whatever of those five reasons. And because you're not willing to be truthful, that relationship can no longer continue to grow, but it instead reverts. It takes steps backwards. It gets weird. Second result or cost of being inauthentic is that emotions build up. We all understand this concept of things bottling up. I looked at the character of Judas, okay? Interesting direction I'm going here. Judas walked with Jesus for 3 years. He was with Jesus for 3 years. In the very beginning of that ministry, I imagine that Judas didn't think to himself, here's a guy I can betray and put him to death ultimately. In the beginning, here's a guy I want to follow. But clearly stuff was going on in Judas's heart that he never addressed. He never talked with Jesus about it. Stuff must have been bottled up. And then he became, you know, the type of guy where he's like, fine, at least I can profit off of this. And in the Gospel of John, when the woman breaks the really expensive bottle of perfume or pours it over Jesus' feet, he's like, oh, we could have sold it, because in his mind, he's like, I could have skimmed off the top of that. I could have made some money. And so Judas, by bottling it up, by not dealing with whatever rub he has with Jesus, his disbelief, he continues to get further and further and further from Jesus, eventually being willing to betray him to the leaders, ultimately knowing that Jesus is going to be killed as a result of what he did. But even that doesn't feel better for him. He feels so guilt-ridden over that, he goes and he kills himself. Like, Judas is a guy that never deals with what's going on internally in his life at any point, and it just gets worse and worse and worse until ultimately it causes his own death. But we see that in Christians' lives as well. We bottle stuff up inside. We don't want to tell anybody. We're like, I'll just eat it. I won't work through any of it. I won't hand it to God. I won't actually release it in any way. And somehow we think that it's not going to ever explode out. Sometimes it explodes out in anger. It explodes out in frustration or a broken relationship, a severed marriage. Sometimes it breaks out in your relationship with God being permanently severed. A little bit of anger with God, a little bit of frustration turns to big anger towards hate, towards walking away, towards disbelief. And all of a sudden, while you may not have your physical life be killed like Judas, spiritually you die because you've bottled it up and allowed your emotions to build. Third, these next two we don't see necessarily in Scripture, but we all understand them, that your baggage grows. As you gather bags in life, they form who you are. They form how you relate to other people. Brokenness in one relationship dictates that you're probably going to lash out in a similar way in another relationship. And so bags that you put on as teenagers that you never dealt with becomes bags that you put on as adults as you continue to have these broken types of relationships with other adults, right? We understand your past influences your future if you never deal with it. And all of a sudden, because you never set your bags down, you're just picking up more bags and bigger bags. Also, your witness is broken. The outside watching world, when they see Christians who walk around saying, everything's fine, everything's good, but they know that you're really struggling, and they watch your marriage fall apart, or they know this little thing about you that's not so great, rather than saying, I know I'm struggling, I pray to God, that's a problem for me, where they'd at least say, oh, you're relatable, I have problems too. They see Christians instead saying, everything's great, no, I'm perfect, I've got God, that's all I need. And they're like, no, you're just a hypocrite. And why would I want to be at all like you? And so these are some significant costs of when we choose not to address our stuff. We choose not to let God into how we're feeling. We choose not to be authentic with the world around us. The benefits, though, of being authentic, of sharing what's going on in our lives are huge. When you're willing to share with God what's going on inside of you, He will speak back to you. He will speak to your hurt, and He will provide for you. We've got this amazing story. The book of Job is about a guy, Job. In the first two chapters, it's a weird setup. The adversary's like, hey, there's this guy, Job. I want to hurt him. And God's like, no, he's righteous. He's amazing. And he's like, yeah, let's see if he's righteous if I take away his family. And God's like, okay. And his family all dies. All his kids and sons and daughters are dead. And Job remains faithful to God. And he's like, well, that's because he still has his riches. And so they take away his riches. All of his cattle and his sheep are stolen by bandits. Job remains faithful. The adversary says, well, what if I take away his health? God says, okay, you can do whatever you want. Don't kill him. So Job essentially loses everything. And then the entire rest of the book is Job having this conversation back and forth with God and with his friends and wrestling with it, being authentic with his feelings of loss and of hurt and saying, why, God? I don't understand. And it's like this beautiful picture of honesty rather than just saying, suck it up, be happy. It's like, no, I'm not happy. And at the end of the book, he gets what he wants. God replies and speaks back to him. Granted, it probably doesn't go how he wants. At one point, God says, okay, man up. Now I'm going to tell you how it is. Were you there when the foundations of the earth were formed? But the thing is, there was this brutally honest exchange between a human and God. And they were able to meet. And ultimately, God restored back to Job all that had been lost. And even if you don't have everything restored back to you, all that's been lost, there is a peace there that God can come and meet you and take away that baggage and allow you to resolve those feelings so that you can sit there and go, okay, God, now I at least understand. Now I see things how you see things, and I don't have to sit here with this anger inside my heart. Or perhaps the next benefit of being authentic is that you can release the pressure. You, like we talked about, bottling it up, things get really dark inside. King David, a high point in the Old Testament, he's a great king and warrior and poet who writes a bunch of the book of Psalms. And what we also see, though, is he has one very dark blemish in his life. He decides, he sees the woman Bathsheba bathing on her roof. We don't do that anymore. But he's like, I see, I like, I want, he has her. But it ends up being the wife of one of his warriors who's very loyal to him, and he wants to just hide it. He doesn't want anybody to know. Unfortunately, she becomes pregnant. Now he's got a big problem. He tries to cover it up. The story's lengthy. But at the end, to cover all of this sin, all of this mess, the baggage that he's got, so that nobody finds out about what he did or what he's going through, he ends up having Bathsheba's husband killed. And we can imagine how he's feeling. I mean, the worst thing that you've probably done, probably not as bad as what King David did here. Unless you've had people murdered, probably not that bad. And yet we look at him and we can imagine the guilt that he had to have been feeling. And so that's why when we get to Psalm 51, which he wrote in the middle of this situation where he pours out his heart and he says, God, look, I'm wrong. Blot out my transgressions. Wipe away my sin. Cleanse me. Do not be so distant from me. Like he's just saying, God, I can't hold on to all these bags. It'll kill me. I need you to take this from me. I need you to release this pressure that I'm feeling. And I think we can all relate to that. We've been there. We've felt that heaviness. We've tried to hide our mistakes before. We've not wanted things to be exposed. We've been terrified of what would happen if people found out. And then, because it always happens, people find out. And yeah, it's terrible and it's embarrassing. But when it's over, you go, oh, now I don't have to carry this secret anymore. I don't have to carry this baggage. I don't have to hold on to it. I can just drop it and let it go and deal with it and move forward. There's when you're authentic, when you're honest, when you're transparent, you deal with your mistakes, you can move forward and you can release that pressure. And finally, you can be authentic with others. If you're not willing to be authentic with God first, how on earth are you going to be able to be authentic with others? But it's other people in the church is what God gave us in order to support us through these challenges. We see in Jesus' life as he knows he's being betrayed by Judas. He knows it. He knows what's about to happen to him in the next 24 hours. He's feeling the heaviness of it all. He's feeling overwhelmed. And so he wants to go to the garden and he wants to pray. But he doesn't, normally Jesus retreats by himself. He goes by himself to be with God. In this situation, he asks his closest friends to come with him and to pray with him. And granted, his friends stink, okay? They all fall asleep and they're tired and they don't support him the way that we would support people who asked us to pray for them, right? We would be a people who actually pray for those who ask us to. But he's looking for that support. He's willing to be honest with them and say, look, I need you here. I'm going through some hard stuff. He's authentic with God. God, if there's any other way, take this cup from me. I don't want to do this. This is heavy. And he's willing to be authentic with his friends and allow them to support him. And I've got to say, I've lived a life now where for 8 years I've had a discipleship partner in this church. I've had various guys I've met with weekly. Having good friends and support that I am honest and transparent with about every single thing going on in my life. They know everything about my marriage that my wife knows they know everything, and she probably just tries to be like, okay, I don't want to think about it. But like, I'm fully transparent with these guys, and it has made all the difference in the world because it's allowed me to walk through these things. If I'm willing to be transparent with God, I can be transparent with them. I can receive the support that God has built us to have in the family of God in sharing these things together. Do you understand the strength that is there when you're able to say, I don't need to hide this. I don't need to carry this on my own. I'm going to lay this down and let other people help me with it. And so I know the bottom line here today, this is what I want you to know. God didn't make you to carry your burdens on your own. He's not asking you to just buck up and ignore how you feel. He made you with emotions. And those emotions are not a sin. He knows you deeply. He knows your wiring, your experiences, your struggles. And he wants to help. He's there. He's not there to just judge you. He's there to help you with the bags. Don't just be like, I'm fine. I've got this, God. Say, no, God. I got bags from 30 years ago that I need to dump at your feet still. Show me what they are so I can release them, so I can move forward, so I can stop accumulating more bags because of that thing. Lay your bags down at his feet and see what happens. And I know that that's easier said than done because, as we already discussed, we're pretty lousy at recognizing how we're actually feeling and how our actions and our thoughts are then tied to those feelings because we're just so conditioned to going through life with all our junk. And so Brent actually had a book that tied in with this, and he was reading me these 5 points, and I was like, perfect. I'm going to put those in the end of my message here. These are the 5 points to help you process through what are the bags that maybe I'm carrying that I haven't even recognized. And so the first step in it is to ask yourself, what happened? What is it that happened? Maybe something now that's going on in your life, something in a relationship, maybe something in your past that is a memory that you hold on to. How do you feel about it? When you think about that situation, what is the feeling it conjures up inside of you? And then the next question is a great one. It's, what is the story that you're telling yourself about that feeling? Third, what does God say? In silence, being with him in prayer, or maybe from his word. And fifth, what action is needed? And this is typically a counterintuitive action. It's something that you don't want to take that step to do normally. And so I want to walk through just one example to help you understand how this might work. Say you find out, you get the diagnosis, you've got cancer. That's the what. Oh, criminy, I've got cancer. This is terrible. How do I feel? I'm depressed. I'm scared. I'm worried. Maybe I'm angry with God. Whatever those feelings are that are inside of me. And maybe that reason is the story I'm telling myself is, God, you let me down. I'm too young for this diagnosis. I've eaten too well. I've done all the right things. I have too much important stuff still in my life. I have too much of my family's too young. You've screwed up, God. Maybe that's the story you're telling yourself. But you have to recognize, okay, why do I feel that way? What is that story? When you recognize it, it starts to unlock some pieces. And then you take that next step. What does God say about that cancer diagnosis? Well, what does God's word say? God's word says that ultimately he does not cause evil. He's not the one to blame, but he is the one who will be with you every single step of your journey. And sometimes that knowledge is power to recognize, okay, God's not the one I should be blaming here. God's the one who's going to come alongside me, so I need to stop pushing him away and start drawing close to him in this situation. And then maybe that counterintuitive action I need to take is I need to read scripture out loud every morning to remember the promises of God. Maybe I just need to be continually putting in my mind key verses, the promises of God. Okay, so now we've got a few minutes, and I want you to try this exercise for yourselves, okay? Take a few moments, and I want you to pick a small bag. Pick like a purse or a fanny pack. Don't grab a suitcase. Don't unpack something that is years ago that has been a major formation of your life. You're not going to unpack that in the next 2 minutes here. But take a moment and silently look at these questions and say, okay, something small that's just bugging me. What is it? How do I feel? What's my story? And then I'm going to want you to turn to a person next to you, if you trust them, and briefly share what you're thinking through here. All right. If you want to restore your relationship with God, then you are going to need to be completely transparent and authentic with Him in your prayers. It's time to stop letting shame and pride and fear get in the way. You've got to stop believing the lies that you have to be happy to be a Christian, or believing that you can't tell God that because, you know, He might not be able to handle it. It's time to set down all the baggage that you've acquired from your youth, from your young adult years, from your family years, and it's time to work through all those feelings that you've never poured out to God. And like any healthy relationship, when you finally choose to be open and to be honest and to let your guard down, then God has the power to meet you in that moment and to transform your life. So would you bow your heads with me as we pray?